This morning, I'm going to share with you out of a message that I put together recently. I think it's a reminder of what we need as a church, amen? And it's titled, "This is Our Church, and This is Our Time." Amen? We've endured some stuff. We've fought some fights. We've won some. We've lost some. But you know, the truth is this. This is our time. And I thought, what better place to start than Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn over there. In Matthew chapter 16, you begin to know that. That's what this church is named after. Everybody say, my church.
My church.
We want you to have a personal identifier when you come here, is that this is your church. So we try to articulate that week after week through the meals, through the coffee shop, through everything that we do, reaching out for the children and the young adults. And it's important that we take ownership. Everybody say, I own it. We own my church. So as I share these few verses with you in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19 this morning, to get the understanding of the disciples answered Jesus' question here with the common view. It's a very common view that you even hear today, that Jesus was one of the greatest prophets that ever came back to life. Peter, however, confessed Jesus as a divine and as the promised and long-awaited Messiah, as we pick this story up. And we're talking about Peter here as he confesses that Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah. Amen? And so beginning in verse 13 of the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus came into the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Isn't that awesome? Okay. Well, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then in verse 15, he said to them, and he says to you and I this morning, think about this. But who do you say that I am? Whew. That should go all over us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that delivered us. He's the one that set us free. It was Jesus, the Messiah. If Jesus were to ask you this question this morning, I want to unpack this. How would you answer it? Is he your Lord? And is he really, truly your Messiah? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Whew. That's how it got revealed to you and me. Man, you know what I'm talking about, how messed up you was, how messed up I was, how dropped down, I mean, naked in the world, man. Everything I thought I had, but listen, I had nothing until I met Jesus. Yes. Wow. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, my Father in heaven." And he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church." Yeah. Hallelujah. And then it says, "After, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, we think about that. With this rock that we're going to talk about this morning is Jesus himself. But a sidebar for you to really understand, when you talk about Jesus as Savior, the Messiah of the world, you got to understand that he's talking about himself, but he was telling Peter, "You are the very first great leader in the church, and I'm going to build my rock upon you." Yeah. So I began to think, God, what are you trying to tell us? And he said, when you name that church my church, he said, I want you to know that the people I have saved, the people I have delivered, the people I have healed, when they come to the knowledge of me, that they are the one that's got a piece of the rock, and God is going to use them to take this salvation message to all the world. That's us. Oh, we got more than just a patty cake for God, don't we? He delivered us. He sanctified. He set us free in the name of Jesus. Glory to the King of Kings. Glory. Hallelujah. Then it says the promise in verse 19, "And I will give you." Everybody say, "Give them to me." Everybody say, "He gave them to me." I am a child of God, and he gave them to me. He said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." Yeah. Woo! "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth," listen to me, "and whatever you is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Everybody say, "I got to watch my mouth." Because we begin to bind up some stuff and we begin to loosen some stuff with some of our lack of confidence or whatever the enemy comes against. But say today,
yes.
I'm binding the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that this word would be sown deep into us. Lord, this confession of faith that Peter, he gave and all the subsequent true believers like ourselves would give, that our faith is in you. That God, you've endued us with power from on high. God, you've seen fit to reach down into our muck and our mire and God, choose us and pull us up out of it. God, we thank you that we was lost, but now we're found. God, we thank you that we was last, but now we're first. God, we thank you we was destined for hell, but God, now we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that we walked in darkness, but today we walk in light. God, we thank you, Father God, and you alone, Lord, are holy and worthy of all praise in the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. If you can. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I came to receive. It's time for us to receive today. It's really good if you think about it to belong. Everybody say, I like to belong to stuff. You know what I'm talking about, all those subscriptions you probably ought not to have, and some of them you ought to have more of. Those Bible apps you didn't sign up, but you should have, amen. A sense of belonging has been a culminating factor in many great accomplishments in this world, and we know that. So we need to belong, and the pursuit of belonging, when you begin to look at this, we pursue belonging, really, amen? So we want to fit somewhere, we want to belong somewhere, and the pursuit of belonging has caused many, many, many men and women to reach beyond the boundaries of fear and to reach beyond the boundaries, if you will, of doubt into the great arena of success. Don't you know this is what God has for you? You was lost, but now you're found. You was dark, but now you're light. You hear what I'm saying? You begin to look at this, you begin to say, that was me. I was messed up, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. That was us. But then God reached down in the middle of this, and this stuff that we created and allowed us to become a child of the Most High. I want to tell you right away, if you're really truly looking for something to belong to this morning when you came here, you found it. The place you need to belong is my church. The person you need to belong to is Jesus, amen. That's who you need to belong to. You need to believe in a place that takes the same word yesterday, today, and forever, preaches truth and nothing but truth, so help us God. And he's the one that delivers. He's the one that set free. He's the one that does the work, amen? Oh, let me keep going here, but you belong to my church. The church is not an institution. A lot of times we think it's an institution. It is not an institution. It's not a club. A lot of people think it has to be a club, so we got to have all these bells and whistles. We just need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, amen? If we need the anointing and we receive it, it's not merely a fellowship place, but just for us believers. Well, listen, the church is for the sick. And I think this is so awesome. So often when people come to the place where they think that the church is just for us holy ones, which we're not, they'll mess up or trip up or fall down, and they think, well, I can't come back here no more. Look what I've done. Everybody say, that's the devil. That's absolutely 110% the devil. That's never a brother or sister in Christ, because the truth is that all of us are going through something, but it's very clear in God's word that each and every one of us are sinners daily, amen? And each and every one of us falls short of the glory of God. That's why we needed the great Messiah to set us free. He knew you couldn't. He knew I couldn't, but he knew he would. Hallelujah. The church is not an institution or a club. It's a place for us to come together. He is the head, and we're just simply the body. We're the body, and people often say, and they begin to crucify themselves, do you know how bad, Pastor, I'm at? I said, I could care less. Listen, you're a sinner, and sin is leveled at the foot of the cross. It didn't matter what you did. God sent his son to die for us. And when we get that in our spirit and we begin to understand we are a part of this thing, we're a part of my church, we're a part of what God is doing. So why in the world, when we think that God is going to send us somewhere else, when I'm beginning to get in my pastorate position where God wants, why in the world would God send me all the way down to an abandoned church to begin to pastor? Well, let me tell you why. It took me a while to figure it out, but he knew there's a lot of people who would quit on themselves. He knew there's a lot of people who thought they wasn't good enough. There's a lot of people who needed to be taught the truth and what God's word says. And he began to say, if you'll just go where I've called you and you'll begin to humble yourself, you'll begin to see what I want to do. It's not what you want to do. It's about what I want to do. And when God begins to call all of you to the ministry that he's called you to, this, everybody says, my church. It's my church, and it's for us to be plugged into, not unplugged from. So no matter how much you fail, no matter how much stinking thinking you have, no matter what you think, God has bought you with a price, amen. He loves you, he redeemed you, he cleaned you up, and you are somebody in Christ, amen. Everybody say, employee-owned. That's you. This is an employee-owned church. You don't have to get down on your knees, Brian. We'll do that in a minute. He's falling out in the spirit up here already. Or maybe it's his ink pen. But here's the thing. Everybody say employee-owned. If you begin to look at this employee-owned thing, you know what that is? That's people who's bought in, amen? They bought in, and you begin to look at employee-owned. How many times have you heard people use that phrase, these workers wearing a name tag, and it says employee-owned or employee-owner on that tag? Simply, the tag is a beacon to the world that I am the owner. I am somebody because I care, and when you come into my circle, I care about you. Let me tell you today that you are employee-owned, amen. You have bought the price. You have sold out. You have the Redeemer that you're working for, and the only thing that you have in that is salvation, amen. You begin to work in a way that you've never worked before, and it doesn't matter what everybody else says or does. You know that I am employee owned, amen. I was bought by the blood of Jesus, amen. I know what I used to be, but I know who I am today. Let's give God a hand clap of praise today. Yes. Oh, yeah. See, the world, sometimes we do it to ourselves. We'll say, I'm an addict. I'm broken. I'm a prostitute. I'm desolate. We begin to speak the garbage that the world has for us, and what God is telling you, I've redeemed you. I've set you free, and to whom I set free is free indeed. We begin to know that no matter what the enemy and what the world may tag you in and ask, but that does not have the final answer. It is Jesus Christ who died and rose again for us. Amen. And we are delivered and set free in the name of Jesus. When the church was first established, now the church has been around a long time. The church was first established. It was done so to bring the body of Christ into action. Now, if you look at that church, you say, well, it looks good, don't it? And some of you said, oh, the driveway used to be there. Oh, there's an air conditioner up there in the front. Oh, look at it. Well, this is after we did a lot of work. Okay, before that, remember that church was like us. That church was just like us. Not there. That's not even broken enough right now. But when I stood across the way and I began to pray and say, God, why me? He reminded me of the same thing he'll remind you. Why not? Because you said, I want to be a willing vessel. You said, God, if you'll save me from this one last overdose, God, if you'll save me from this one last drunk, God, if you'll save me from my next worst decision, God, if you'll deliver me, God, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how I messed up so much. God, you know I love you. God, you know I repent. God, I am so sorry. And God, I just need you. Then God says, I want you to go to 330 South Plum Street, and I want you to begin to understand why I've called you. That's the same reason you're here. Why would he call a bunch of people to come into a place that's called the ghetto or the forgotten place? It's called the forgotten place. You thought you was forgotten about, didn't you? You thought you was already checked out and wiped out. Somebody already told you that you was worthless, that you'd never amount to nothing, that you're no good. The world had plenty of stuff to tear you down. But let me tell you, when you walk into my church, people say these things. They say, I feel the presence of God. I feel the anointing. I feel something there that's a little bit different. And I'm just going to go ahead and hurt your feelings because it wasn't me that brought it to you, man. When this church was in here and the pews was busted and broken and things was tore up and plastered and no roof and no doors and no windows, when it was at its very worst and we come in the front door and we laid there, God began to tell me, I am here. I have never left you, nor have I ever forsaken this place. This is a place of praise. And one of the businessmen was with me. He said, God, make this a house of praise again. God, we need your presence right now. And that's the last thing he said before he hit the floor, because God said, I'm in the house right now. Woo! Oh, we sat here, and man, we've done all kinds of projects and spent a lot of money and worked hard. Literally, I'm not joking with you. There's thousands of people who have put their hand to this plow to restore this church. You begin to think, what did God really want? When this church was established in 1888, God had a purpose for this church. Don't you know, the first Sunday it was opened, that was one of the first times that blacks and whites could ever minister together in Springfield. Did you know that? Did you know that they fought against the prohibition of alcohol right here in this town? Do you know it started right here? Do you know Adopt-A-Block was started here? I could tell you all the outreach ministries in Clark County, they started right here in this church. And you begin to wonder, well, why in the world is it closed? The devil was madder than hell. It was madder than hell that this little church was making a difference, and it ain't no different today. So through everything that you've been doing, all the ministries been developed here, as you begin to see this church breathe, as you begin to see this church reach out, you begin to see the same old thing, the presence of a living God. Now let me tell you a sidebar. I was an atheist. Oh, I said, what? I didn't know that. Everybody said, I didn't know. You lying, you ain't been listening then. It took the blood of Jesus to deliver me. And then right where my wife is sitting here, right behind there, my mother got married here a whole bunch of years ago. And when she got remarried here, I was standing in there, and I was all decked out. I looked good, too. I had a mullet. Yeah, I used to have hair, amen. But I had this mullet, and I'm sitting there, and I'm all buffed out. I used to lift all the time, so I'm sitting there. All this is going on. I'm standing there, and I absolutely despised that I had to be in the church for my mother to get married. I absolutely watched myself walk down that aisle, and I began to dispute God and what he stood for all the way. Everybody in my family was saved but me, and I began to say, God, why are you bringing me inside of this church? And way back then, God began to call me. And I remember standing in those chairs, or that pew, if you would. I began to stand there. I was like, I can't wait for this to be over. I'm going to go burn another one as soon as we're done. Truth. But I remember the day that me and Dobby and some of us walked in this church and we began to reclaim this for Christ. And lo and behold, it shook me to my foundation as I was standing in the same spot praising God. So no matter where you've been at, no matter how much you've been knocked down, no matter what despair you're in today, God will bring you full circle and it begin to drop you back into the ministry that he's called you to be in. He didn't bring you full circle to kill you. He didn't bring you full circle to quit on you. He brought you full circle so you can work for him, so you can praise him. He delivered you. He set you free. In the name of Jesus, we praise him. Woo. Oh, wow. Listen, the church was established. Everybody say, I was established under the blood of Jesus. It was not birthed to form a religious society or a gathering of faithful people. The church was born to involve you. The church was formed to involve you and I. The power of God's work on an individual level as well as the whole. We begin to look at what's going on here. Listen, I know a lot of you don't even know this. But we get out here in this little town called Springfield, and people begin to identify you. I've been asked questions about, where's that church at? Hey, it must be thousands of people go there. That's how powerful you are in Christ. I'm telling you, when you begin to speak truth, when you begin to walk into schools, you walk into jails, you walk into workplaces, and people see something that's different about you. Amen. Here's what you need to do. You need to know is Christ is in you. He is in you. I've never left you or forsaken you. It don't matter what the world says. It don't matter how you feel. I'm going to begin to speak it. How you doing, Pastor? I'm blessed and highly favored in spite of my many challenges. Think about this. We speak it. Matthew chapter 16. Look at this, verses 18 and 19. We're going to refresh, all right, because some of you fell asleep. And I also say to you, that you are Peter. You are Peter. Yeah, it should have checked you out. Yeah, it should have killed you. It should have canceled you, but it didn't. So you are Peter, a disciple of Christ. And on this rock, I will build my church. No matter what you've done, your best decisions was horrible. But God said, I love you anyway, in spite of your best decisions. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You begin to think, well, you don't know what I've been through. Yes, I do. But here's the truth of what you've been through. The substance that got you through it was not you. The substance was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. What got you through those times and those trials and again and over, it's not us, but it's the Spirit that's working in us and through us. We knew we should have been checked out. We knew we should have been canceled out. We knew we should have been nothing but a name on a gravesite. We know that. They said, I will give you, no matter where you've been at, no matter what you've done, how messed up you've been, amen. And people tell me the other day, Pastor, I didn't know that all about you. I said, I don't give the devil no glory. There ain't too many people in this church for sure that's been lower and dirtier and nastier than they. So when you're hurt and when you're busted and when you're knocked all the way down, I can dig it. But I know the only thing that brought me up was Christ. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. Listen to this. In heaven. I want to you to notice something with me this morning. It's the reason I read this again. The revelation of God in Christ is the foundation of everything. The revelation of God in Christ is the foundation of everything. So if you could walk down that driveway and you walk across right beside the alleyway, there's a big old pole over there. As I stood years ago leaning against that pole in that August night, I'll never forget how hot that tar was as it began to sink through my shirt. It soaked through my shirt and burnt my back as I stood there and I bantered back and forth and argued and disputed with God, God, why me? But I want you to know what God will begin to do. I've called you for a time such as this. If we are truly my church and we're truly belong to Christ, which I believe each and every one of you do, then your name is Peter, and he is wanting you to build it upon the rock. Listen, we're in this together. I say, I'm in it together. And we're going to win it together. Amen. Listen, I want you to notice something with me. The revelation of God in Christ, as you look at this, is the foundation of everything. You think about redemption, it's only through Jesus. You begin to think about sanctification, it's only through Jesus. You begin to think about justification, only through Jesus. The understanding of the oneness of God is not a trivial thing. It is not an extra blessing to the church, okay? It is the most pivotal truth in the church today. You hear me? So today we got to say, well, you need to add to or take away from the word. We got to do this, got to do that. We got to do things different. When he said, listen, the oneness in God, the true God, the true word of God, when we begin to get in it, he's going to begin to get out of us. We don't got to add to or take away. We got to hold to the truth. We love verse 18, however, don't we? Anybody remember that verse? We've shouted over this verse, especially here at my church, over the last 13 years or so we've been here in the church. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is something that we hold on to, and we know as truth is as we shout this, as it excites us, as it turns us into cheerleaders, what a powerful revelation. Even the very gates of hell cannot withstand the name of Jesus. The very gates of hell cannot withstand the gate. Listen, I'm telling you, there's something in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. The gates of hell cannot overcome the church of Jesus Christ. When we begin to know that this church is formed, that we can hold to the truth, that doesn't matter what you're going, I'm talking to church, you know I'm talking to you, right? Uh-huh. That not the building, I'm talking to you. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. He's set up on your shoulder and whispering and lie to you every day, all the time, wanting to break your marriage up, ruin your finances, get you to go backwards and not forward, subject you with mental illness, physical illness. He'll do anything he can want to do. Then you ain't got to like it, because you got to know something. The devil, you can form any weapon you want to, but my word says that I got all the power to bind you up and to cast you into the lake of fire where you come from, because stronger is he that is in me than he that is in this old rotten world. Listen to this. This is some powerful revelation. What a rock to build upon. Look, I put this up here. I said, this is pretty pivotal to me. What a rock to build on. Not a junior God, not a lowercase g for God, if you will. Not a part of God, but God himself. Yeah. That's what it was saying here. Build it upon me. So we walk in this church so many years ago, and as we walked in here, it was broken, and all I seen was brokenness, but God began to say, that's what's wrong with you, is you're broken. Let me put you together. Let me use you as a willing vessel. Watch what I can do with nothing. He took our nothingness and turned it into somethingness. He took our lowness, and he turned us into highness. Think about this. We was lost, but now we're found. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. What a powerful, powerful revelation. If you are going to build on anything, build on the solid name of Jesus. Amen? Build on the solid name of Jesus, and that's where the revelation will come. In Matthew chapter 7, y'all still awake? I didn't preach you to sleep yet. That's good. Matthew chapter 7, as you turn over with me. When you're there, say amen. And if you're Tawana, say, oh my. That's a Wednesday night joke in Bible study. But in Matthew 7, I'm going to focus on verses 24 through 27, and I'm talking about building on the rock. I'm talking about building on a solid foundation. Let me tell you that when we got here at this church, guess what was solid? Everything else was broken, but the foundation was solid. It's been standing since 1888. Everything around it fell down. See, that's kind of like us. But when we begin to build on the solid foundation, let me just read this for us. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say, I'm built on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Whew. Now, let me just read the rest of it before I start preaching again. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, that's what sets you free, amen. That's what delivery is, the word of God. Those sayings we're talking about the infallible word of God, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Anybody ever been there besides me? My foundation built on the wrong thing, say. This is true. Everybody say word. This is the word, because what happens is we begin to devour the word of God, and when you begin to grow, the enemy hits your guts. He begins to see not only you, but he begins to see the next and the next and the next generation. If he can just get you to be lukewarm, if he can make you be the accuser of the brethren, if he can make you find everything fault with everything that comes around, if he can get you to look left and right instead of staying focused on the cross, if he can interpret you to say that's not what the word says when it is what the word says, if he can get you to just be betrayed just a little bit, what will happen? He won't only get to you. He'll get to the next generation of your kids. He won't only get to them. He wants to wipe out your grandkids and your great-grandkids. That's what the enemy wants to do. But we can repent, and we can know that what we have to do is we got to turn into Christ and not away from Christ. But the wise man builds his house on the rock. The word rock is Petra, which is a massive rock. Everyone say massive rock. Say it again. Say it again. It's a massive rock. I'm somebody. It might be a piece, but I'm built on the rock. Amen. I'm built on the rock. This church is not built on shifting sand. It is not going to be. It's not going to happen. This church is not built on corruptible things. It is built on the only solid rock that there is, and there's only one. Everyone say, this is my church.
My church.
This is my church.
My church.
And it belongs to me. You begin to look at it, and I put down some things right here, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and pick on the normal people, right? So I put down here Lorenzo Anderson. The devil, listen to this. And when I'm done, you just tell me if it's true. The devil tried to kill you. He tried to check you out, and he wanted to wipe you out, and he wanted to do it for good. Yep. But God had the final answer. When it comes to repentance and turning into, he turned into, and it's not been no bed of roses. It's what he's done is he said, I know what don't work, and when I've accepted Christ, God begins to make all things new, and he will fight, and he will fight, and he will fight to stay on the road to just and begin to do what God has called him to do. God didn't call you because you're weak or wishy-washy. He called you because you're a child of the King. He knew that you couldn't, but he knew he could. And what he began to do is raise up a soldier in Christ to begin to take back everything that the enemy has stolen. Let's give the hand to Lorenzo for the fight. And then I got Mark and Lisa Bear. I put you down here in the spirit. The enemy thought he could destroy you with a bad decision. He said, if I can just lie to you, and if I can get you to do it, I can destroy you and your kids and your grandkids. I can check you out. I can wipe you out. You'll never forgive yourself. You'll never truly serve God. You'll never go where you need to go, never be what you've been called to be. But God redeemed you with forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. You was able to say, I am washed with the blood of Jesus. I am washed with the blood of Jesus. My mind knows that my focus is on Jesus. I am redeemed. I am set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, you thought I was just going to pick on them. That's just some of my regulars that don't get mad at me. But listen here. I want to talk to you about your story. Think about your story. Amen. I know some of your stories. I know that you know my story. Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. The greatest attacks the enemy could use against God's children. I know that the enemy comes against us even after we're saved and begins to tell us, use again, cheat again, lie again, steal again, be worthless again. Don't be washed by the blood of Jesus. He begins to try to get us to turn left or right. And God is saying, stay the course. Don't worry about what the enemy says. Because you have victory. Look, you've been shot. You've been shot. You've been pronounced dead. You've been stabbed and been sewed back up. You've been pronounced dead, overdosed, bankrupt, breached, busted, disgusted, broken, lied to, lied about, stolen from, stolen, done wrong, hated, despised, and rejected, just like our Savior was, Jesus Christ. But He was bruised for us. He was strived for us. He was healed for us in heaven. And today He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and you, a stubborn people. Can you give Him a hand clap of praise? And a shout today. He alone is worthy. Woo! Hallelujah. My church, listen. The greatest attacks of Satan cannot stop God's people. You know what I'm talking about? Because when I was on that telephone pole and I was leaning up against it, I'm telling you what God was telling me and I didn't even know it. He said, there's going to be some Lorenzo Andersons come your way. There's going to be some Mark and Lisa Bears come your way. There's going to be a lot of people who thought this was the way, the truth, and the life, but it's a lie. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, I want you to begin to walk in it, amen. I want you to begin to believe in it. You hear me this morning? Ooh, this is good stuff. I heard a story about this little old lady. It was years ago, and I probably tell it wrong, but it's a story I heard years ago, and I thought, man, I want faith like that. So I walked in faith, I got shot, though. Amen. You guys know a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, I lose track of time, but it was Corinne and Beth Ann and I, and we was out doing street evangelism, some guy emptied two clips on me. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You got to think, that guy went to prison, he's already out, so it's been over 9 years. It's been 9 years. But you think about that. Did I fear them? Nah. I was too stupid to fear, I guess. Because I began to think, he's going to hurt somebody, he's going to kill somebody, and he's one of that thug gangs that was going around here picking on white women, pulling them out of cars, beating them up, and doing people wrong. The little did I know that God was going to put me in His crosshairs on a Friday night at a gas station. And I began to tell Him about Jesus, and He put a gun on me. And I didn't really realize how bad it was until I seen it on video in the court system. I was like, Dad, go on, that dude had that gun right in my face, man. But I had the shield, man. I had the protection. I knew my job, and what my job was is to represent Christ that night. And I'm not recommending any of us do that. And as He emptied those clips, I can look back now and I can say, I don't know how, other than God, that He didn't shoot my truck or me. But I heard a story about this old lady that I heard it back then, and it reminded me, that's God, and if God's before you, who can be against you? She went home. She came home from church, of all places. And she walked into her garage, and there was a man that was robbing her. And he would say, give me all your stuff or I'll take your life. And she began to rebuke him. And I want you to know that when we was chasing that guy, after he tried to kill another guy after me, we was rebuking the devil. And the devil didn't have nothing against us. I want you to know what this old lady did. This old man did the same thing. This man done the same thing to this old lady. He shot her. But when he shot her, the bullet didn't even touch her. Yeah, the bullet, he shot her at point range, but guess what? That bullet hole burned a hole in her blouse, and it took a chunk out of the concrete floor that was behind her, but when it hit her, it didn't even hurt her, faze her, or bruise her. God's church is a powerful church just like that. His name is still the powerful name of Jesus Christ. It can even protect from the point of blank gunfire. Some other things you don't know is my church is built on the rock. That's all you got? My church is built on the rock. Oh, yeah, you think about that. If we didn't cover that window up right there, you know what's full of? What is it? Bullet holes, that's right. You know my office upstairs where it used to be? Look at the side of the house over there. They riddled it with bullet holes, but nothing formed against us will prosper. When you come to this neighborhood and God's call, we begin to say, they're going to kill us here. And they pulled knives on some of the girls. They did all kinds of crazy stuff. But look what the Lord has done. You begin to know that whatever God will take you to, he'll take you through. No matter where you've been at, he ain't taking you backwards. He'll never quit you, and he'll never leave you where he found you. Amen. You begin to know that God is taking you forward and not backwards. Jesus told Simon, you are Peter, that Petros, that piece of rock. In other words, you are part of this thing. If this church, if you, the church, can begin to get that you're part of this thing, I am building the church on the rock, and you are a piece of the rock. Church, I want you to realize today that this is our church. It takes time, and it takes ownership to act like it. And what are you saying, Pastor? What are you trying to tell me? I'm saying that the devil wants us to begin to think that the church is regulated, that it's sitting on the back row because it don't want to be in the midst of stuff. This church takes back seat to absolutely nothing. This is God's church, and we're taking back in storming hell and doing everything and taking everything that the enemy's stolen. The Satan wants you to believe you're just merely associated with the church, that you're not part of it, that the beliefs and the creeds of the church, he's wrong again. Because people often tell me that, Pastor, I've been coming here and I'd like to join the church. I said, put your hand to the plow then. We don't do membership. And can I tell you why? It's not biblical. Oh, that's controversial right there, isn't it? I ain't doing it. Okay, I was doing it, and God sent a prophet in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, inside of a closed up conference room that's supposed to be locked. And as I was laying on my face at 1 o'clock in the morning, there wasn't no knock or nothing. There's a man of God that walked in there and said, Pastor, are you in here? I said, yeah, laying right here. He said, I don't know what you're praying about, but I was in bed and God stirred me to be praying about you, but God told me to tell you no. I said, all right, I'll stand it up. I guess I prayed long enough, and I'm going to listen. That's one of my best friends and one of my mentors, Pastor Phillips, who is in heaven now. But it came down to this. Will I really listen to what God is telling me? Will I lean up against the pole? Will I say, why me? Or who? God, what do you want to do with me? Will I lay in there and I wait for God to send me direction? He sent you the boat, and you drown. Why didn't you get in the boat? Amen. Jesus identified Peter as part of the great rock the church would be built upon. In other words, it is going to take the efforts to achieve single greatness and move of God. The best move of God will happen right where God plants you at. God wants all of us, look at this, to know that we are integral in the working of the church. It needs us. It needs us. We're the body of Christ. That's who we are. That's why we pray and God moves. All we do is pray. Yeah, it started with me walking in with someone else. Yeah, God wants to give you this place. You're already doing ministry out here and have been in this neighborhood. I said, you praying about the wrong dude. It ain't me. That's what I said. But I felt the presence of God. And I began to pray, God, me? He takes me back 20 years ago, decades ago, of me standing as a young man in that row. He began, I've been positioning you. I've been calling you. I've been wanting you. And, wow, listen to this. You hear me? Wow. Matthew chapter 16, again verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give them to you. The kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Listen to this. God uses us. God uses you. Quit beating you up. Quit saying you ain't good enough. Quit saying you're a sinner. Quit saying I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and the only thing good in me is Jesus. Amen. God uses us to help others find their way to Christ. So if you're beating yourself up, all they're going to see is a performance-based, religious-based. It's a relationship, amen? It's a performance-based do and duck, and nobody will never be good enough. That's not the God we serve. To all who believe in Christ and obey his words, the kingdom doors are swung wide open. What he wants us to do is believe and hold to the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. That's why when we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. When we bind, on earth is bound in heaven. We aren't second rate, church. You're not second rate. This is God's promise. Whew, I'm excited right now, aren't you? Yeah. All right, we got a quick break. Stand up. We'll take a praise break. Turn around and high-five someone and say, this is my church. This is my church. Oh, yes. Now tell somebody, now it's my time. It's my time to shine. High five somebody and tell them, it's my time. This is my church. It's my time. Woo. Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated if you can. I was talking to a friend of mine this week about Springfield football. Listen to me. I was talking to a friend of mine this week about Springfield football. I said, man, you better get up off my sermon. He said, I really believe that this is our year. I really believe we're going to win it all. I believe this is the best team I've ever seen at Springfield High School. And there's something about this particular team. This is our year. I read an article about Mr. Delapina an athletic director in the Springfield paper, and he says, we just need to not stop believing. He said, we need to not stop believing, no matter how hard it's been, no matter what you've been through. It's time for my church to believe that this is our time. It's time for us to know that God has called us, that God has positioned us, that God has sent us, God has delivered us, God has done everything he can. It's our time, and somebody needs to shout right now, it is our time! It is our time! Woo! Life is way too short. Most people could do more than they think they can, but they usually do less than they think they can. Let me read it again. Most people could do more than they think they can, but they usually do less than they think they can. Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, because immediately the enemy begins to attack you. Yeah. I had some guys get uneasy with me this morning. I grabbed a broom, started sweeping. Oh, I should have got that. No, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just telling you, God told me to clean that dirt up. God tells you to sweep the dirt up, sweep the dirt up. God tells you to clean the bathroom, clean the bathroom. If God tells you to jump, jump. But you got to be in God's word and in God's will and what God wants, amen. Don't be distracted. Begin to do what God has told you to do. You never know what you cannot do until you try. You never know what you cannot do until you try. Listen, many failed businesses never got started because you never know what you cannot do until you try. So you begin to say, I don't know, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it my all. Most families, they'll chuck it and they'll get divorced or they'll be separated and allow the enemy to come in, but they just won't try. They say, well, I ain't worth it anyway. Moderation is a fatal thing. Nothing succeeds like excess. That's what I thought. Nothing succeeds like excess. So you want to moderately praise God? Go ahead and keep moderately praising God. You want to keep moderately praying to God? Then keep on moderately praising to God. But if you want to be messed up by God, you go ahead and praise him. Because when you get to heaven, you ain't going to say nothing at all anyway, but holy, 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 holy God, holy God. That's all we're going to say, holy God. Nothing succeeds like excess. Listen, this, everything is possible. Never use the word never. Never use the word never. I've heard it my whole life. Never will you amount to nothing. Never will you be any good. Never will you make it. Never will that church on South Plum Street be alive. Never will God use it. Never, never, never. And for all my life, I said, you might say never, but my God says always. Always, what he's in it. I know this is hard to believe, but you never tell a young person, never tell a young person they cannot do it. Amen? Amen? Yeah, so when I was young, now I know it's been a couple weeks ago, but when I was young, I remember I had a person in my life that told me, you're no good, you'll never do it, you'll never, 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 never. And I had such a determination, I thought about that. As I excelled at sports and how to excel at sports, it wasn't because I was the best athlete, it's because I had the biggest determination to be something and be somebody. How did you succeed and come out of addiction? How did you succeed and come out of broken and failed marriage? How did you succeed when you come out of the penitentiary system? How in the world did you succeed? You have something inside of you that says, no more, the world's told me never. And I'll walk through my never and I'll shake it off. I'll shake it off. We need to quit telling young people never. God may have been waiting for centuries. Listen to me now. When I was standing right here, I was a little younger. God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody to be ignorant. God may have been waiting centuries for someone, you hear me, to be ignorant enough to do the impossible for him. Whew. You hear me? Man, that's good stuff. Because I was ignorant enough to believe that you'd be sitting here today. I was ignorant enough to believe that if God's before me, who in the world could be against me anyways? And I remember telling God, well, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But if it fails, it's your fault. That didn't work out so well. But I want to say that to say this morning. If you, I'm telling you, listen, can you hear me? If you, nobody else, if you devalue your dreams, rest assured that the world won't raise the price. If you devour your dreams, the world will kill you. It won't change the price. It'll help kill you. You will find that great leaders are rarely realistic by other people's standards. I have it on the wall, I think, for you. Yeah, look at that. Take a picture of that. You say, well, I'm not leading in. If you're a parent, a grandparent, if you've got co-workers, you're leading and people are watching. When you become the church and you're that Peter, a piece of the rock, when you begin to walk in the oneness and the trueness of God, let me tell you something. It's not going to be realistic all the time for you to do what everybody else thinks you ought to do. You hear me this morning, church? I have to tell you one more time, church as usual is going to change around here. We need to recognize that it's our time. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. God didn't put us here to be quiet, to be mediocre, to meet on Sundays. COVID told us that's what we was here for. I've never been busier than when COVID hit. Just this week, I watched my family be delivered from the hospitals of COVID again. I know that I've watched people in our church and our church family win the race and win the battle. If you begin to think about it's your time, and that's why the enemy is trying to shut you up. If you begin to know that whatever you've walked to and walked through, it's only because of Christ. That no matter where we're at, no weapon formed against you can or shall it prosper. If you've been in and out of mental health, if you've been in and out of the hospitals, if you've been sick for a long time, it's time for us to stand up and say, no more. No more. It is my time, and I am the church. Amen. It's time for us to begin to put the devil on notice instead of him putting us on notice. It's time for us to take authority in the name of Jesus over every trial that's before us. To believe an idea impossible is to make it impossible. To believe an idea impossible is to make it impossible. As soon as you utter the word, I can't, you begin to fail. Too many ideas or possibilities have been killed at birth simply because of a cowardly imagination. If, everybody say, if.
Yeah.
If our God truly, truly is as awesome as his word declares him to be, why do we dream in such small, small dreams and attempt such little, little things? It's time to believe great. It's time to attempt in your life great. It's time to achieve great. We need to move to a place where we begin to understand, I am built upon the rock. In closing this morning, listen to what Pastor has to say in closing this morning. Now, I'm not all about the hype. Okay, I'm not into hype, as a matter of fact. I've suffered at the hands of merely hype long enough, is how I feel. And I'm talking about some reality. I was in a pastor's meeting this week, and this one young pastor that we're mentoring, he said this. He said, well, that's what I like about you, brother. That's what they say. You just tell it how it is. And I say, yeah, sometimes, including people like you don't like it. Amen. But I'm getting way too old, been at it too long to be a buttercup. It's time to deliver the word of God. Amen. The devil trying to cancel the power of the church for the last 2 years, and for the most part, it has happened. But he never canceled God. The enemy's not canceled us. The enemy's not canceled the power of God. So no matter what you're going through today, listeners, people at home today, that's sick in body, they're afflicted. I got loved ones who is in, listen, they're at home today suffering, and our job is to begin to pray for them. We begin to lift them up when they are weak, when we are sick in body, when we are being attacked. Our job isn't to say, well, they wasn't here today. Our job is to love them, anoint them, pray for them, lift them up. Praise God, because God will deliver them again and again and again, because that's who he is. Listen, there's something I've been taking note of, and I hope you should too. So we talk about it. I get so sick of hearing about COVID. Not that it ain't real. My family, my church family, my friends, we've been riddled with it, amen. It is real. Ain't nobody trying to say it ain't real. So quit arguing about it, amen. But this is what I've noticed. There are churches all around the world. Everybody say world. There's churches all around this world are thriving in spite of the critics, and they say that they won't. They will be closed. They won't open back up. Listen, it's time to thrive in the spirit of amen. It's time to begin no matter what the enemy says, no matter what the government says, no matter what anybody says. We need to thrive in spite of it. We need to go into the world, preach the good news, and watch the captives be saved. Watch God heal people. Watch the anointing flow. We've got to do it. Everybody say, I'm in. Amen. Me and Lisa, I said, everybody say that I'm in. Right now, people are achieving what others told them was impossible. Right now, people, Lorenzo Anderson, Mark and Lisa Bear, and the rest of you that's got the same testimony, everybody told you it is impossible. I would go to the jails and the prisons, and wherever I come out of it, they knew Lorenzo Anderson, and they begin to say, ah, he's the same old dude, man. It won't be long. He'll be back in here. I said, I bind that talking up against my brother in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to tell you something. The accuser of the brethren is Satan himself. Oh, you begin to speak it as it is. And all of a sudden, I shared this with Lorenzo. I begin to doubt it myself. Is Lorenzo going to go backwards? God, how can I pray differently? God, what can I do to help? Amen? That's the enemy, but you take notice of the enemy's attack. And you begin to put it in your crosshairs. You begin to say, oh, no weapon formed against Lorenzo Anderson is going to happen. His wife might get mad at him. His kids might get disappointed in him. Everybody might desert him. But I know that I have one job and one job only. And my job is to put him on that prayer list and faithfully pray. And God, you do what only you can do. And God, if you're before him, who in the world can be against him? It doesn't matter what his past was. It don't matter what his current circumstances are. What matters is God said, I delivered him. I set him free. I've justified him. I set his feet up on a solid rock. I call him Peter. He's got a piece of the rock. He goes to my church, amen. He is my church. And no matter what the enemy said, I'm going to walk through it. He's delivered and set free. Woo. Oh, yeah. Right now, people are achieving the impossible. And I want you to just be honest with me as I close. Raise your hand if you're achieving the impossible. Uh-huh. You done should have been checked out. You should have been canceled. Should have been dead. You shouldn't have a voice for God no more. The devil lied to you, tried to kill from you. He's stolen everything he could steal from you. He tried to take and check you out. He should have did it. He should have did it. When I begin to think about the times that I walked through adversity in my life, when I was pronounced dead, and the things I went through didn't mean nothing to me until I got born again. When I got born again, I begin to think, oh, devil, you should have wiped me out, amen. I might not have said nothing then, but I was living good for the devil. But I'm going to tell you, once I receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk into my divine healing. I'm going to walk into my divine purpose, and it doesn't matter what everybody else says or what everybody else does. I'm going to begin to walk, and you're going to take note. Devil, you're going to take note that I'm walking. There ain't no weapon going to come against me. I'm going to walk through it in the name of Jesus, and you can say what you want to say and do what you want to do, but I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk, and when I get tired, I'm going to run. I'm going to run into my healing. I'm going to run into my deliverance. I'm going to walk, and I'm going to get through it. Amen. That devil should have canceled you out, but he ain't got nothing. Walt Whitman's a poet. Walt Whitman said this: there's a man in the world who never gets turned down. Now, this is 107 years old, but I want you to hear this. Who never gets turned down wherever he chances to stray. He gets the glad hand in the populous town or out where the farmers make hay. He is greeted with pleasure on deserts of sand and deep in the aisles of the woods. Wherever he goes, there's a welcoming hand. This is you. This is my closing. I want you to hear this. There's a welcoming hand because he's the man who delivers the goods. You're the men and women who God redeemed. You're the man and woman that you need to start speaking, God, save me. I might not look right, sound right, I might not even smell right, man, but God is inside of me. If God is before me, God says, you bring the goods. Listen, if you want to know what this world is looking for, it's you. The world is looking for someone, and the church is able to deliver the goods. A church that believes the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A church that says, I am a piece of the rock, I am built up on the rock, and I know what I used to be, but I'm not going backwards. Matter of fact, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to keep progressing no matter how bad it hurts, no matter what happens, no matter what the adversary says. I'm going to begin to continue to move forward. I have said all this to say, this is our church, and this is our time. Let's do something. It's time for every individual to take ownership of this thing that we're calling about. It's time for us to pray and pray. Listen, when you look at this, from praying to cleaning, believing to achieving, it takes the body of Christ in action. It takes us all so we can begin to do it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, are you his people? If you're going to have a Peter experience, if you're going to be a piece of the rock, if you're going to walk as my church, if my people are called by my name, if my people, I'm his people, you're his people, amen. If we'll begin to humble themselves and pray, and we begin to pray and to seek his face and turn away from 180 degrees from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive the sin and heal their land. We begin to look at that and we think, well, what in the heck's going on here in chapter 6 previous to this? Solomon begins to ask God, will you please, God, make provisions for the people when they sin? And God answered with four conditions, and the same four conditions that he's asking you to do today. It's exactly the same four conditions. First one, humble yourselves by admitting that you are a sinner in need of God's amazing grace. Secondly, pray to God asking truly for forgiveness, turning 180 degrees away from it and not going backwards. Then seek God continually, no matter what we're doing. Don't say, I got to watch another dirty movie or I got to listen to some secular stuff. Begin to get your focus on God and continually know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. God, wash my mind. And then fourth, turn from your sinful behavior. When you begin to turn from your sinful behavior, it says that true repentance is more than talk. True repentance is more than talk. True repentance is more than talk. It is a changed behavior. I begin to know that my church is counting on me, because my church knows that we got to save this adulterous world, that we got to begin to go in a way that's glorifying to God. And we're saying, God, you did it for me. And God, I am Peter. God, I am your worker. As we stand over the house this morning and dismissing, I had a sister say this to me in the last couple of weeks in counseling. I know people get sick and tired of seeing me at an altar every Sunday whining and crying. And I said, well, let me tell you the truth. Every one of us should be at the altar every week crying and repenting, because it says every one of us are sinners in need of God's amazing grace. I said, but sometimes, sister, I said, we're a little too prideful. Sometimes we'll think we'll wait till the next time, and sometimes it never comes. But the truth is this, if you truly want to repent and turn it around, it's more than just talk. It's action. You say, I don't know why I keep doing the same thing over and getting the same results. That's insanity. When my people who are called by my name, when we begin to pray, he begins to do what only he can. It's more than mere talk.